Hi, I'm thinking of getting another tattoo to go with my raging dragon one.
Sure. What are you looking for?
Well, maybe something like a...
Bunnies! He wants a row of bunny rabbits with twitchy noses.
Your vote is your voice, so don't let others decide for you.
All holding giant flowers.
Who's that?
Ella. She works in the bank next door.
Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to checktheregister.ie and be a voter so that it's your voice that's heard. From Am Comisiún Toghcháin, Ireland's Independent Electoral Commission.
Too cute. And write Sarah on it.
Cute? I'm a martial arts champion. And my boyfriend's name is Jack.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
Six Nations on the Left Wing podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Left Wing. Well, Andy Farrell has named his team for arguably the biggest Ireland rugby game Lansdowne Road has ever staged, with a chance to win a Grand Slam there for the first time on Saturday. So Farrell has made three changes to his team that started the win over Scotland for the game against England on Saturday. We knew a few of these were coming because of injuries to Gary Ringrose and Ian Henderson. So Robbie Henshaw comes into the centre alongside Bundy Aki, and Ryan Baird starts in the second row alongside James Ryan. And in a non-injury selection, Jemson Gibson-Park starts as scrum half. Conor Murray is on the bench. Keen Tracy is here. Keen, Henshaw, Baird and Gibson-Park in. And great to see that Caelan Doris and Dan Sheehan are fit as well for this game.
Yeah, miraculous recovery, really, wasn't it? You definitely feared the worst when they went off last weekend, like particularly Caelan Doris with the fall that he had in the disallowed try. And it's a massive, massive boost to have the two of those guys available. I mean, I was kind of been out in the Ireland camp all week, and to be fair, from early in the week, the word was that they were going to recover. That I'd say there's a huge element of that these are two guys who have worked so hard to get Ireland into this position that it was going to take something serious for them not to be involved. So that's massive, absolutely huge. And like, it's great as well. Like, I mean, how unfortunate is it for guys like Ian Henderson and Gary Ringrose in particular, like, who's just been so unlucky? You think back to the third test last summer, missing that as well. And he's been one of Ireland's best players consistently over the last while. So you feel really bad for guys like that who miss out. So Ronan Kelleher is another one. He's just been dogged with injuries over the last while. You'd hope that the latest shoulder injury isn't too serious. But for guys like Dan Sheehan and Caelan Doris, it's just massive and fully deserved that they get the chance to see this out. But yeah, so as a team, is a long expected lines. Like you said, the three changes, I mean, it just shows the remarkable, I think, strength and depth of where Irish rugby is at the moment. Like, I mean, to have a guy like Robbie Henshaw coming back into the team, like, that certainly doesn't weaken Ireland at all. As much as Gary Ringrose is a loss, like, Henshaw comes in and plays with Aki, and I mean, the two of them know each other so well, back to stolen laptop gate when the two lads went off hunting for Robbie Henshaw's laptop back in the Connacht days. I always fondly remember that story. So, like, they know each other inside out, and I would have far less concerns about Robbie Henshaw going into the 13 jersey than Bundy Aki in Rome when that centre partnership, as we spoke about, Sinead, already. Like,
which we'll never see happen again.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. Just they're just too similar. It just didn't work. Whereas Henshaw is more comfortable. I say more comfortable at 12, but I think Robbie Henshaw, particularly throughout the Joe Schmidt era, got a little bit frustrated that he got pigeonholed into being a bit of a one-dimensional crash ball merchant when, God, like, you think of Robbie Henshaw and he broke onto the scene at first, and, like, you know, he obviously played stints at fullback and stuff. So there's far more to Robbie Henshaw's game, which he has proven time and time again. So I think, like, that's going to be a seamless switch really into the midfield. Like, to lose it bare like Gary Ringrose, but to bring Robbie Henshaw in is massive. Ryan Baird in for Ian Henderson. Yeah, like, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, we've all kind of been waiting for the last couple of years to really break onto the scene. We've seen glimpses of it. He's had a couple of injuries that have held him back. He's been switching between the second row and the back row, but he is a guy who is just supremely confident in his own ability. Bit of a different type of character, but, like, you need all these types of different characters. Like, you've got, like, your Mac Hansen and your James Lowe on the wings, like, two free spirits. And Ryan Baird, I think, is, you know, like, he's really self-assured. And this is a big, big opportunity, like, going up against
Omar Tojin, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I do still think he's better suited to the back row. I will admit, I think long term, I think I would like to see him playing blindsided, but certainly not at the expense of Peter O'Mahony right now. But then again, a lot of people said the same thing about Tadhg Byrne, and look how well he's been playing for Ireland over the last while in the second row. So that's really exciting, I think, to see how Ryan Baird goes. It feels like this is, you know, his moment to really show what he's about. And obviously, again, it's unfortunate for Ian Henderson. And in the third change, Jameson Gibson-Park for Conor Murray. Like, I was fully on board last week with Conor Murray starting. I think he absolutely deserved it. I think he's had a very strong championship, and there was no real need to rush Gibson-Park back. But that said, I don't think many people would argue that Jameson Gibson-Park is still Ireland's first choice scrum half. Like, he's been so important to everything they've done over the last while. And look, his impact off the bench last week was really, really telling in terms of Ireland pulling away from Scotland. So, I don't necessarily think that's a slight on Conor Murray whatsoever. I actually think Conor Murray was a bit unfortunate at times in that first half, because Ireland's breakdown work was so poor at that end. Like, he ended up having to go in and to clear out the butt, like clear out rocks and stuff, which, you know, left kind of someone else having to step into the scrum half role, but that wasn't necessarily his fault. So we've seen it throughout the competition, I think, Sinead, how good Conor Murray has been, and like what a guy to have to bring off the bench, no matter what the circumstances are. Because even if you think back to was it in England in Twickenham last year when Conor Murray came off the bench, he had a big impact. And like, this is at a time when people are going, oh, like, what's the point in having Conor Murray on the bench, because he doesn't add tempo, like Craig Casey should be on the bench. But he proved last year that he can come on and he can speed up the tempo. So that's the only, I suppose, tactical change that Andy Farrell has made, but I think it's one that really makes sense, and yeah, fully on board with that.
Yeah, and he really is going to dictate a lot of what Ireland do on Saturday. Let's just look at the bench, Keane. Obviously, Conor Murray on the bench. No Ronan Kelleher, so Rob Herring is on the bench there as well. You know, Kieran Treadwell, we saw this coming as well. He's in there. And it was going to be interesting to see who was going to get that number 23 jersey. And come on in, Jimmy O'Brien. Stuart McCloskey, does he have a right to feel pretty pissed off today?
Yeah, like, I'm surprised that it's not Stuart McCloskey. Jimmy O'Brien makes total sense, but if we think back to the guys who Andy Farrell has been picking in a number 23 jersey, it's by and large been a centre. It's been Bundiaki a lot of time. It's been Robbie Henshaw. And not a lot of coaches tend to do that, because it obviously limits your options in terms of, you know, if in case someone gets injured. And Jimmy O'Brien, I don't think you could pick a better guy to wear the number 23 jersey, because he can literally play all across everyone, the back line. Yeah. So that makes total sense, but I am still surprised, because I thought Farrell would go back to Stuart McCloskey. Now, he really is only a 12, so like, it limits your options in terms of what you're able to do, because at least, you know, obviously Bundy didn't go that well in the 13 jersey, but he has played there in the past. When Robbie Henshaw is there, he can play 12, 13 and 15 at a push as well. So I'd say Stuart McCloskey will be annoyed, Sinead. Like, there was talk last week that he was injured, or was he injured for the Scotland game? And he was definitely carrying a knock, because I was at the open training session and he wasn't involved in that. You could see him doing his rehab away from the rest of the squad. But Stuart McCloskey was in Murrayfield last week as an extra squad player, which tells you everything you need to know that he was fit. So for a guy who had started the first three games, I'd say he'll be feeling pretty annoyed, actually, because he hasn't done a lot wrong to be bombed out totally. And okay, if he's losing his spot to, I think, Robbie Henshaw and Gary Ringrose, it's fair enough. They're Ireland's first choice. I think still their first choice Ireland centres, but to be not even making the 23 is a tough pill to swallow. But I don't necessarily think he's done a lot wrong. And it's going to be very interesting when it comes down to, you know, picking, not to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but when it comes down to picking a World Cup squad, like, this is the kind of thing that could go against Stuart McCloskey, because he only plays 12. Now, he plays 12 bloody well, and that does count for a lot. But when you weigh it up against the other centres who can play 12 and 13, a Jimmy O'Brien who can play 12 and 13 on the wing fullback, and he can play out half as well, like, that's the kind of thing that goes against, or goes with, guys who are looking for that kind of 50-50 call. So I think he'll be really disappointed, but he can be really proud of everything that he's done in this campaign. He's more than played his part, and he was very good as well last November too. So a bit of a bitter pill to swallow, but again, it just shows the level of competition in the squad, doesn't it?
But it's only Thursday now, Keen. You know, who knows what will happen between now and Saturday. Come here, just word on the back three. It's the only kind of line in the Ireland team that has started every game in the Six Nations, Keenan, Hansen and Lowe. And in three of the four games, the man of the match has gone to a player in the Irish back three. Keenan, obviously, for the Wales win, Mac Hansen for the Italy and Scotland wins. I mean, they are playing the rugby of their lives. But maybe no player signifies more the Andy Farrell kind of touch than James Lowe. It was this time 2 years ago, of course, that he got dropped after the second last game against Scotland. He wasn't even in the match day squad for that win over England. Jacob Stockdale started that day. Look at him now.
Yeah, it's been a real success, I would say, of the Andy Farrell coaching era, because like there was a lot of excitement when James Lowe broke onto the scene. I think he made his debut against Wales. And then obviously it slowly kind of started going against him, and so many people wrote him off. Like so many people said, like, he's just not cut out for Test rugby. This is why the All Blacks were happy enough for him to go off to Leinster, because he was never going to make it with them. But he's really answered a lot of his critics, which I think a lot of the Irish players have. So, yeah, like we've spoken about this like definitely before, Sinead, like that Andy Farrell doesn't want his wingers to be, he wants them to be untidy, and like Mac Hansen and James Lowe typify that more than anyone really. We could see it again in Murrayfield last weekend, and it's just such a thrill to watch guys like that who, you know, and this isn't like a slight on Joe Schmidt whatsoever, like, but you just can't imagine those two guys playing for a Joe Schmidt team, because you know, defensively, I do still think both of them have air, like, you know, plenty of scope still to improve, Lowe and Hansen. But it's just what they bring on the opposite side of the ball. Like I think they're infectious. I mean, they want to get on the ball, and I think it means that everyone else around them feels comfortable enough that they want to get on the ball too. And it just kind of makes for this really positive mindset, positive approach, which is reflective in terms of what Andy Farrell is looking for from his squad. So it's just been brilliant to watch, like absolutely brilliant. And it's great stories as well, like, I mean, how far they've come in a couple of years, and they have Hugo Keenan, who's just been a rock. Like there's times where I think we just take it for granted that he's just going to be a 9 out of 10 every week.
Do you remember when he even fumbled the ball, you know, in the opening minutes? It was like, oh my goodness, like, was there a possibility there that he could drop a ball?
He just does the basics so well. And when I was watching the game back, it was one of the things that struck me was the pass that he threw for Mac Hansen to score. And like, Mac Hansen still had a lot of work to do, and it was a sensational finish ahead of Duane van der Merwe. But there's times when you watch rugby and you're kind of looking for the complex kind of thing, you know, the trick play or whatever, but you cannot put a price on the basics done well. And Hugo Keenan does the basics exceptionally well. Now, he does a lot of other things as well, but that pass, like, it was a winger's dream. It meant that Mac Hansen didn't have to break stride and allowed him that just little extra half a yard to finish what was still a very, very difficult finish. So he's just such a comfort blanket in the back three. Now, you know, if you want to say, like, there's still, I would say, I don't know if concern is the right word, but we still don't really know who Ireland's backup 15 is. My sense is that it's Jimmy O'Brien, but he doesn't really play there regularly for Leinster. And if Hugo Keenan, touch wood, was to go down, then it's a big ask to throw someone in there. So it's the one position Andy Farrell has just opted against, kind of, you know, rotating. Mike Lowry had a bit of a stint there. He's obviously not even in the wider squad now anymore. So it's interesting. Ireland are very reliant on Hugo Keenan, but going forward, I'd be interesting to see what they do in the World Cup warm-up games in August. Like, I'd be shocked if Hugo Keenan plays all of those games, even though you wouldn't put it past him, really, would you? So that's one area, I think, that coming out of the Six Nations that Andy Farrell will be mindful of, that he'd like to have, you know, a backup option more assured, because there's plenty of guys running at fullback, I've no doubt, in training, but actually doing it in the proper kind of heat of battle is what matters.
Yeah, now the England team the England team hasn't been named as we record, but of course we know that it's been reported that Owen Farrell will start at 10, despite kind of some speculation that he picked up an ankle injury in training early this week. Amanu Tulagi, who of course has a damn fine record against Ireland, he's reportedly coming into the centre alongside Henry Slade. Keane, I thought the closer we got to Saturday that the usual kind of historical doubts and concerns would grow about England and what they can do, but it's not really happening. So I'm really beginning to worry now about the lack of worry for Saturday.
Yeah, it's the most Irish thing ever, isn't it? Like, isn't you just it? Don't. Yeah, like it just you doesn't.
Need some worry.
Yeah, it does. Well, Andy Farrell is probably sitting in the team hotel at the moment, like hoping for a bit of adversity, while every Irish fan out there is hoping for just like for one easy, smooth week where, nothing goes wrong.
As well. I'm actually kind of going, like, I feel like his influence is even affecting me. I'm now going through what could go wrong on Saturday. Ireland haven't got a yellow card yet. Like, could it be kind of some indiscipline, but kind of going through those scenarios as well.
Well, you know, but if it does go wrong, you would have total faith in Ireland handling whatever. It is like what happened at Murrayfield last weekend was like just insane. And I know, like, you and yourself and Rod spoke about it on the podcast earlier this week. The two of us spoke about it immediately after a game, and I was still trying to get my head around like what we had actually just seen. But like, it shouldn't be underestimated like what Ireland came through to keep this Grand Slam dream alive. And like, that has to stand for so much going into this week. And like, look, there's no doubt that England are capable of turning up and spoiling the party, because like, you just look at the caliber of players that they have. But I think like, when you look at the muddled thinking of the whole thing, like, Steve Borthwick doesn't seem to know if he's coming or going in terms of what team he's picking. It's very similar to what Warren Gatland is doing, you know. One minute they're kind of looking towards the future, like with Marcus Smith, and now they're going back to Owen Farrell. And you know what? My sense is still that if George Ford had more game time under his belt, really think George Ford would start, and you could see Farrell at 12 with Tuilagi at 13. And I think come the World Cup, I'd be shocked if that's not the way they might look to go. I'm a big fan of Henry Slade. I think he's class, but you look at what kind of George Ford had done with Leicester Tigers before he joined Sale under Steve Borthwick, and I've always had a nagging sense in the back of my mind that he would like to go back to George Ford. Obviously, he's coming back from an Achilles injury, and like, for what is, it's basically a dead rubber for England. I think they're probably mindful of, I know George Ford has been playing for Sale, but they're probably mindful of just getting him a few more games. But I think come the World Cup, Ford could be the man that England looked to. So it must be very hard for someone like Marcus Smith to get his head around where he stands with the whole thing. I mean, it was pretty bizarre that he was released from that kind of mini training camp that England had in the build up to the game against France. And okay, he went away, Marcus Smith, and like, he got man the match in a big Harlequins win over Saris, was it? But he still missed 3 days of training in England camp. And like, this is a guy who's still like very, very new in the scene. So I don't know. It's hard to figure out. I never got the sense, like, I love watching Marcus Smith play, like, so, so exciting. But I never got the sense he was a Steve Borthwick player. Borthwick was kind of brought in, I always thought, to kind of, you know, go back to basics and play the kind of, you know, attritional game plan that won Leicester Tigers a premiership under him. But the game has moved on. Like, I mean, we've seen this with Warren Gatland as well. We saw it when Warren Gatland was with the Lions. Like, this is why I think Ireland are, you know, on course for a Grand Slam, because they're playing at tempo. You look at France, the way they're playing at tempo. This is the way, you know, the modern trends have moved. And England just still seem to be stuck in their old ways in terms of, like, we just mentioned Hugo Keenan there. I'd imagine he is going to see a lot of high balls rain down on top of him come Saturday. But I mean, that's kind of bread and butter to Hugo Keenan, really, isn't it? So, I would agree with you, Junaid, because it's just the old Irish kind of attitude in you. Like, there's always kind of a nagging sense in the back of your mind. But all logic and sense, if you kind of take the emotion out of it, like Ireland should win this, and they should win it well. But it just comes down to, I suppose, being able to handle the occasion, like the nerves. Johnny Sexton,
that's the biggest thing. They've shown that they are able to do that.
They are, but I I'm always just amazed by the psyche of professional players. Like, I mean, Conor Murray playing when he did after what he went through, like, with his dad and stuff. Like, it just blows your mind at times, like, how these guys are, like, tuned. They're just wired differently. But, I mean, playing in front of your friends and family for Grand Slam, at home, to become the first Irish team to win a Grand Slam in Dublin, like, that has to play in the back of your mind. And like, all this sign suggests, you know, like, there's been loads written and said about how the great job that Gary Keegan has done, but this is a different type of pressure. I was over in New Zealand, obviously, for the test series last year, and they treated the third test as a final, but that was still at the other side of the world, and there was a couple of
and nobody
Irish
expected them really
exactly,
to win
yeah.
that third test.
They were still underdogs. There was a couple of thousand Irish people there, and it was great, but they were away from the public glare, you know, whereas this week the hype train has long since left the station, and that's a great thing. Like, I mean, we should really be cherishing and appreciating. That was the point I was making to you, Sinead, after the game, like with the Ireland under 20s going for a Grand Slam in Cork on Sunday, like this really could be one of the greatest weekend for absolutely. Irish rugby. So we should just enjoy it and cherish it. But I think the players know that as well. They know what's at stake. You know, Johnny Sexton's last Six Nations game, the chance to become the highest point scorer. There's just so much at stake, and they've come so far, and they've put in so much hard work that it would be like such an anticlimax if they don't go on and complete the job now. But
would be such an anticlimax. I can't even almost go there if it doesn't go to script.
Yeah,
on Saturday.
Like it's hard. Like it's really hard. And this isn't like there's a fine line between being kind of logical and confident and being arrogant. And I don't think anyone is being arrogant, because I think even
we're going off evidence here.
Yeah, and like I think even the most diehard English supporter would say that their side is up against it. And it feels like a bit of a kind of a missed opportunity for England in some sense, because I think they're going to come out of the Six Nations. I think I'm right in saying if they lose, they'll have won two games in the Six Nations for three consecutive years. But, you know, they're going to come out at the back end of the Six Nations. And I don't think they're going to be any the wiser in terms of like where they're going under Borthwick, whereas Ireland are certainly, you know, they know exactly where they're heading. So, I can't wait. Like you said, it's only Thursday, but like you kind of wish the game was tomorrow, really, don't you, just to get stuck into it. But imagine how the players, I'd say they're hopping off the walls ready to go.
Okay, great stuff, Keane. Thanks for that. We're going to continue our build-up on the left wing tomorrow. Will Slattery will be chatting to former England international Alex Corbisiero. And we'll also have a podcast after Saturday's game. And hopefully we will be celebrating some history and a first ever Grand Slam win for the Irish team in Dublin. That's it for now. Thanks for listening.
The Six Nations on the Left Wing Podcast. Rate, review, and follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.